One of the things that I've always enjoyed and always thought was cool about the whole scouting program, no matter what aspect you're in of it, is that all of the scouting programs have God at the center of some of their oaths and their promises. So let me read these to you. Brownie promise. I promise to do my best to love God and my country. The Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts, their promises, I promise to do my best to do my duty to God and my country. The Girl Scout promise, on my honor, I will try to serve God and my country. Scouting is a great way for a person to learn truths to build their lives on that goes bigger than just emotion or bigger than maybe something somebody suggested. It's building their lives on something greater than that. An old actor that some of you may have heard of, I don't know, it might show your age a little bit, but has anybody ever heard of John Wayne? Don't raise your hand, okay? I don't know if you know this or not, but John Wayne was actually a Boy Scout. And after his career had been very successful, he ended up getting an award from President Ford, and it was a black tie dinner affair. And as he gave him the award, John Wayne got up, and he actually cited the Boy Scout promise at this prestigious award. So he started out his speech by saying, "A Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent." And then Mr. Wayne, at this prestigious event, then launched into a dialogue about a scout being reverent. And Mr. Wayne stated, "Keep God at the top of what you believe in. With Him, life can be a beautiful experience. But without Him, you're just biding your time." All branches of scouting includes God in their promises and oaths, and it's simpler to something that Jesus said. In Luke chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus commented in command that the full duty of man is to love God and then love everybody else around us and serve the people that are around us. Baden Powell, who was instrumental in starting the Boy Scout program, believed that duty to God should be at the heart of all scouting. He said, "Religion means recognizing who and what God is. Second, it is making the best of this life that He has given us. And third, it is doing what He wants of us. That in mainly doing something for others." Juliet Gordon Lowe, maybe some of you have heard of her, the founder of Girl Scouts, saw that her organization was a means to show the wonder of God in nature and then good works to the community. Through their goals and practices, both of these organizations sound a lot like the church, to love God and love our fellow man. Lord Powell, who grew up as a minister's son, recognized that when a young man or a lady includes God in service to others in his or her life, it is a life well lived. Along those same lines, the founder of Methodism, John Wesley, who we as a denomination, Wesleyan denomination, get our namesake from, he oftentimes told his students and the people in his congregations, "Do all the good you can to all the people you can for as long as you possibly can." How would it change our world? How would it change our community? How would it change our families if we took seriously these ideas? Love God with everything we have, and then love our fellow man and serve the people that are around us. There was one scout who took to heart these ideas. His name was Frank, and Frank had a pretty tough Christmas one year. Frank Wilson was at home, and he got very depressed during the Christmas season because this was going to be the first Christmas that he was going to celebrate without his brother, his best friend and brother. His brother had died earlier that year in a car accident, so a little depressed and a little down in the dumps, he was sitting there with all of his gifts that grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles had already given him. He had a new coat and some toys, a new sled, and all this stuff, and yet it all felt meaningless to him. And as he was thinking about this, he just got to the place where he decided to just pack it all up and go for a walk. He didn't know what he was going to do, so he took all the presents, put on his new coat, put them on the sleigh, and started walking. Well, as he walked into a poor section of town, he walked by this house, and as he looked in the window, he saw a lady that looked like she was crying. He doesn't know what came over him, but he went up to the door, knocked on the door, and opened it and said, "Lady, you can take anything you want from my sled." And the lady started to cry even more. She reached down, picked up a flashlight, a little airplane, and took a game or something else from the sled, and then began to even cry louder and said, "Why did you do this?" And he goes, "I just wanted to share what I had." "Well, who are you?" And he thought about it for a moment. He said, "Just call me the Christmas Scout." Well, he packed up his stuff and started going down the street. Before too long, he had given everything away. He'd given his coat away, his sled away, all the toys away. And when he rounded the corner and started coming back towards home, he began to realize that his mom and dad weren't going to be too happy. Any of you mom and dads, if your kids gave all that stuff you just bought away, would you be really thrilled about that? Well, they weren't going to be too happy. And he thought about that as he came into the house, and they were like, "Where have you been?" And he's like, "Well, I just need to get out of the house." And there was sort of this whole tone around the house of depression because the son was gone. And so they scolded him a little bit, and he couldn't figure it out because he was feeling sort of good about what he had done. So he went into his room, and mom and dad went about their evening business. Well, the next morning, Christmas morning, they got up, and they just flicked on the television just to see what was going on around the world. And when they turned on the television, all of a sudden, this news report came on that sort of shocked them all. And here was what the news reporter said. "Crippled boy has a new sled. Another youngster has a fine winter jacket, and several families report that their children were made happy last night because of gifts from a teenage boy who simply called himself the Christmas Scout." Frank's mom and dad's demeanor changed a little bit, and that day and that night became one of the best Christmases ever, as they began to really learn and understand that the greatest joy in life does not come from people serving me, but comes when I begin to serve others. Amen. Jesus gave an interesting principle in Matthew 25, and I'd like to read this to you. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit in his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' And then the righteous will answer, 'But Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' And then the king will reply, 'Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" That's a pretty cool thought. Whatever we do for the least of these, whatever we do for our neighbor, Jesus tells us that God looks at it as if we did it for him and to him. So we know that we should do good to others, but oftentimes we don't. And I got thinking about it this week. Why is it? What is it that keeps us from doing good to others? Why is it so hard for us to do good? Now, I could get into a whole bunch of theological explanations and bore you to death with that, but the Bible gives us an answer that I believe is the simplest answer to that question. And here is a simple answer, because so often we get more focused on me than we do on others. We turn our attention to ourselves. One of the greatest things about scouting is that scouting constantly reminds each of you that life isn't just about you, it's about other people. It's about doing a good turn daily. It's about helping our neighbors. It's about serving other people. Love God and then serve other people. Now, here's the reality. We all face troubles in our lives. Any adults attest to that? Wow, all you adults have a great life. Any adults say, yeah, there's troubles in life, okay? There are problems that come our way. And I'm sure a lot of you children will get there too, or you're going to have some troubles in life. And oftentimes, those troubles can distract us from others because we just start looking at our own problems, and our own problems become so big. Erwin Lutzer, in an article about Christ's service, stated, "No matter how bad things are going for us, we have no excuse for not serving others. Sometimes we feel we can't take on anybody else's trouble because we are overwhelmed with our own troubles. Sometimes we don't do good to others because we're facing our own troubles, and we're looking at those, and they're distracting us and filling our minds. Another reason I think that we find it hard sometimes to do good to others is because evil, frankly, is present in our world. You know, I don't like looking at the news much, because you look at the news and you can start to get a little depressed about all the crazy things that's going on in our world. And one of the things that begins to happen is when I begin seeing all the bad that's going on in the world, I begin to think, what in the world will my little good do? Will the little thing that I can do make any difference at all in the world? How is my little good to my neighbor, or my good to a friend, or my good to a person at school, how in the world is that little good going to make any difference in the scope of the entire world? Seems sort of small. You may have heard of this little story, but I want to just read it to you. Sometimes it's good to be reminded of it every now and then. Once upon a time, there was an old man who used to go to the ocean often. He was an author, and he loved to go ride on the beach. And he had a habit of walking on the beach every morning before he began his work. And early one morning, as he was walking along the seashore, a big storm had come in the night before and had washed ashore a whole bunch of starfish. And they were just littered all over the beach, as far as the eye could see, up and down both stretches of the beach. And as he was walking along, he saw a little boy, looked like a kid, off in the distance. And he saw that he kept bending down and then standing back up and throwing something into the water. And so the author kept watching this boy as he walked closer towards him. The boy was walking closer to him. And finally, the boy got close enough that the author saw that this young man was picking up starfish and winging them back in the sea. And so once they got up within hearing distance, the author asked the boy, you know, what are you doing? And the boy said, well, sir, you know, as I came on the beach this morning, I saw that the tides and the storm had washed all these starfish ashore, and if they don't get back in the ocean, they're going to die when the sun comes up. They're going to dry out, get brittle, and they're going to be done. And so I'm throwing them back into the sea. Well, the author chuckled to himself a little bit, and he said, but there's thousands and thousands of starfish on this beach alone. Why are you doing this? And the little boy bent back down, picked up another starfish with all of his might, winged it back in the sea as far as he could throw it. He looked back at the old author with a smile on his face, and he said, yeah, there may be thousands, but I did make a difference for that one. And he picked up another starfish, and another, and another. You know, sometimes we just give up on doing good because we begin to wonder and ask, is it really making a difference? Is my goodness, is my service, is my dedication to going to a cemetery and decorating the graves, does anyone notice? Does it really make a difference in the world? Well, let me tell you, it makes a difference to that one, and to that one, and to that one. Another reason I believe we don't do good is because we don't really understand why we should do good. I compiled just a couple of ideas as to why we should do good. Let me just give you this list. You can write these down. I left a little spot in the bulletin if you want to just jot these ideas down. Here's the first one. Because Christ commanded it, and so does your Boy Scout or Girl Scout troop. You know, there's some of us that are here this morning that if the rule says you should do it, you'll just do it. And you know what? Christ commanded it. And so does the rules of being a good neighbor, a good citizen. They command it and demand it of us that we do good to others. And that's all you need. So when you hear that Christ said, you know, whatever you did to the least of these, whether it be feeding somebody that's hungry or giving water to a thirsty person, providing clothes or visiting somebody who's sick or looking after the sick or visiting them in prison, that's all you need. And okay, I'll go do it. But there's some of us that need a little bit more than just a rule telling us that we should do good. So let's go to number two. Because God has done good to us. God has done good to us. I find one of the huge reasons to do good for other people is because unbelievably, God has done amazing things for me. As a follower of Jesus Christ, I believe the greatest good that God has done for us is the gift of Jesus Christ. We just celebrated Christmas a few weeks ago, actually a couple months ago now, and that is the gift of God sending his son Jesus Christ to earth, and we're now marching towards our next big holiday in the church, and we'll celebrate it in the world as well, and that's Easter, Good Friday, and Easter. And both of these dates remind us that God has done unbelievable good for us. That through Christ's death on Good Friday, then his resurrection, Christ paid the penalty that's really due to me. You see, if you steal a car, the penalty for that is you're going to go to prison. If you do something wrong, something bad enough, you're going to get in trouble for it. Maybe a lawsuit, maybe a fine or a penalty or prison time. And what Christ did, we've all done bad things and we all stand in trouble with God. But Jesus said, you know what? I'll pay the price. I'll go to jail for him. And that happened through his death and through his resurrection. He paid the price for us. But beyond that, God has also done unbelievably good things for all of us who are sitting here this morning. Did anybody walk to church this morning? Bob, Betty? They just live across the street. You guys drove? So you mean to tell me that all of you here have a car connected to you? Most of the world doesn't have cars. You know, last Thursday when that storm came through, I would bet that most of us had some kind of house to be in, some kind of shelter, some kind of roof over our head, somewhere to get warm, to get out of the snow and all the crud that was going on. Most of you came with clothes on this morning. Okay. Most of us came with food in our bellies. You know, every day that I get up and I look at these things that God has given us, it amazes me the goodness of our Father. He is so good to us, undeserved. We don't deserve all this, but he gave it to us. You know, as I watch the news right now, I oftentimes ask, God, why was I allowed to be born here and not in Afghanistan or Pakistan or born in Africa? God, you were so gracious to allow me to be born here. Thank you. I want to invite you to something fun this morning. Inside your bulletin, as you got them, there's little leaves that should have dropped out. They look something like this. I want you to go ahead and grab those out for just a moment. If you need a pin to help our ushers, if you just raise a hand, we have a whole bunch of pins. We'd be happy to pass a pin to you. A couple weeks ago, we started doing something as a congregation. It's sort of fun. We are building a tree of gratitude in our hall, and maybe you saw it on your way in. It's on the left if you're going that way. If you came in, it's on the right, so it's on that side. And we're just adding leaves to that tree every week. And what we're doing is just writing down. So Girl Scouts, parents, adults, anybody can participate with this. I would like you just to write down a note of gratitude, something you're thankful for, something you woke up this morning thinking, hey, that's a blessing. That's nice that God did that for me. And just write it down. Once the service is over, I encourage you to go out and just tape it to the tree. And we're going to be taping more and more leaves to that tree all the way until Easter. So we're building a tree of gratitude. Also, as you're doing that, I'm going to give you about a minute here. On the bulletin, I mentioned it earlier, there is a piece of the bulletin that comes right off, just like that. We would love to know who you are and get to know you a little bit more. We would love everybody here this morning, our regular folks as well as our guests. Just put your name and contact information in there, and in the tithes and offerings in a little bit, we're going to collect those. So I'm going to give you about 2 minutes to fill out a leaf and to fill out the connection card. So if my maestros would throw a little bit of music on, let's have some music and fill out the leaves and the cards. As the service wraps up, go ahead and take a minute. We're going to do a reception for the Girl Scouts as well, but take a minute, go out, put your leaf on the tree, and we're watching that tree get greener and greener as the season moves on. Let me give you another reason as to why we should serve other people, love other people, and bless them. One of the thoughts that I want to give you before we leave that idea why is because oftentimes blessing someone else brings us blessing. Now, I don't know if you ever get up and have a bad hair day. Anybody ever have a bad hair day? Don't you love bad hair days? you get up and it just seems like no matter what you do, it just keeps getting worse, you know, and one thing leads to another and things don't go right and you get frustrated and the plans don't work out and it just seems to just keep multiplying itself. The further along, you just wish you'd go back to bed and do it all over again. One of the quickest ways that I have found to turn around a bad hair day is to start serving someone else. It's amazing how fast it can turn a bad day around. When I begin looking to do good for somebody else, maybe it's a phone call, maybe it's an encouraging word, maybe it's an email or a Facebook note to somebody else and just let them know that you're thinking about them and that you appreciate them, all of a sudden it begins to turn the day around. It can turn a bad hair day into a good hair day. So why should we bless others? Why should we serve others? Because oftentimes it blesses us back. Now, how should we do this? Really quick, I'm just going to camp here for a minute, and then we're going to wrap up the service. How should I go about doing good for other people? What are some guidelines, some ideas? One of the traps that we get in that prevents us from doing good to others is we begin to think that our acts have to be grandioso, and they have to be huge, and they have to be awesome big things. But that's not what Jesus taught. Listen to what Jesus said. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. So here's two principles here. First principle, small ways count just as much as big ways when it comes to doing good to other people. It doesn't have to be big and grandioso. It can be really small ways. Now, if I was to call dibs, what does that mean? Come on, girls. If I was to call dibs, what's it mean? I heard something back there. What is it? Call it out. I call dibs. I call dibs on the donuts that are back there. Y'all know what that means, right? If I call dibs, let's say you're going to go to the store and dad's got the keys out or mom has the keys and says, okay, kids, we're going to go. What's the very first thing you do as a child? I call dibs on shotgun. You betcha. I had kids. And you know what's interesting? Nobody ever called dibs on one particular seat in the car. What seat is it? Middle hump seat. Nobody wants the hump seat. Ladies, you want a great way to serve? There are hundreds of ways to serve in your family every day. And what if you called dibs on the hump seat? Oh, really? That's a great way to serve. I call dibs on the hump seat. Rather than taking shotgun, I'll do the hump seat. Here's another simple way. I'll give up the remote. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. Men, put your toes away. I'll give up the remote and let you choose the channel. I call dibs on laundry. I call dibs on doing the dishes. You know what? There are thousands and hundreds of ways every day. They may not be grandioso. They may be very small, but they are ways that you can serve right in your family. You know, sometimes we get distracted thinking, I need to do something for the elderly, or I need to do something big for the community. But I tell you what, service begins in the house. And there's a great way that you can learn how to serve others. So that's one principle. Small ways count just as big as the big ways. Number two, do your giving, do your secret serving, or do your serving in secret as much as you can. Now, sometimes people are going to see what you do. But Jesus said, here's the deal. If you go out serving other people and you want everybody to notice what you're doing, Jesus says, you just got your reward. That's it. There's no more left. But if you do your serving in secret, then God sees that and God's like, awesome. I'm going to bless them now. Now, I tell you what, I'd rather have God's blessing than man's blessing any day. And so do your giving as much as you can in secret. Now, as I said, I've been involved in scouting a long time, and I've noticed that there's two kinds of scouts out there. One kind of scout always has to look around to see who is watching them when they do something. I picked up garbage! I policed the grounds after the camp out. I got some firewood. And they're looking around saying, who's going to notice? And then there's a second kind of scout that I notice. You would never know they did anything because they do it quietly. They pick up garbage without being asked. They go when you go to camp out. They grab firewood before being asked to do it. They're the first to, hey, let's get the dishes done. And they line up to do the dishes. Jesus said, do your giving in secret. Because if you have to look over your shoulder to see who's going to pat it on the back, you just got your reward. Now, not always can we do all of our giving in secret because some of it's going to be noticed, but as much as you can, give in secret. And here's the last idea. I want you to be detectives. Now, I like good cop shows. I like good detective shows. One of my favorite is NCIS with Gibbs. Y'all know what I'm talking about? New Orleans is okay. NCIS, Los Angeles, or whatever it is out there, it's okay. But I like the old ones with Gibbs. And I just love detective shows. And I would like to encourage all of you to be detectives and begin to be like sleuths looking for ways to serve other people. Looking for good things to do to neighbors, to friends at school, to locker mates. Looking for good things to do in your house. So rather than waiting for it to show up and hit you in the face because your troop leader said you should do this, you're already looking for ways to serve other people. That's after the heart of Jesus Christ. So there's three quick ways, three easy ways that you can begin to serve other people. Well, I look forward to Girl Scout Sunday every year, and I enjoy being able to host this service with all of you, our guests, and our regular friends as well. Our church is all about families. We love families. We love investing in families as a church. We have this belief that when we follow Jesus and begin to pattern our lives after him, he begins to give us the best life possible. He begins to give us the best family possible as well. And so anything we can do to partner with families to help them be better, we go after and we try to do. We're coming up to the highlight of our Christian calendar year as we come into Good Friday and Easter. If you don't have a regular church home, we would love to invite you to be a part of ours because we just have a good time every week and every weekend and during the week and love to have you come join us. So if you don't have a place you go to regularly, come on out to our church.